Good morning again, and should I say, blessed new year to you. We're almost there. It's yet to be seen if we'll get there, but we're almost there. We're so happy that you're with us this morning. I'm going to move again away from, just for one more Sunday, from the book of Acts that we're studying together, and I thought because we are facing the new year, that I would do something a little different to encourage God's people and to remind us of the times in which we live. And we are, I think, closing in on the last times. And who knows, the Lord Jesus may very likely or very well return in 2019 if we even get there. And so there's nothing that need else to be said about that, because he is coming again. And when he comes, he will change everything. Praise God. Now, there's a simple, broad outline to the book of Ephesians. And those of you that are familiar with it know that the first three chapters give us our position in Christ, and the last chapters 4, 5, and 6 give us our practice in Christ. Or some have called the first three chapters the work of God, and the last three chapters the walk with God. But of course, in reality, it's all the work of God. Whether we're in our seeing our salvation, which is so great on the front end, or whether we are seeing our sanctification on the back end of that, it is all glorious. I had David read the verses, really 4 through 14, leading up to what I want to talk about today, because what we have here in this section is a summary of instruction for a righteous attitude, a philosophy of timeless direction in living. I'm talking to Christians now, because again, this is our walk with God. This section is not for non-Christians, it is for Christians. And it is a philosophy of timeless direction and living, and that means no matter the environment around us. And you'll notice just some key things here. In verse 5, it says, "For you know this, or for this you know with certainty." And what he is defining there is the difference between the saved and the unsaved. Because he talks about who will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's not that these that are found there are better people. They're new creations in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. These are born again. Now, they're not perfect, but they're not what they once were. That's the whole point of that. In verse 8, he talks about that, for he says, "For you were formerly," what? "Darkness." You were formerly darkness. And he says there, "I want you," he says, "but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You were darkness, now you're light. Walk as children of light. That's what this world needs, is to see the light. Verse 10, "But we are all growing," for he says, "trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Notice that? It's a growth process. We don't become saved and we're automatically, everything is peachy keen with us before God. Now, we are justified before him. He looks through Christ at us. And Christ paid it all, but we're struggling still in a fallen world. And so we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And notice verse 14. "For this reason it says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Christ will shine on you. We have an obligation before us. And, you know, this is the time of the year we start talking about resolutions. And, you know, I know I got to push away from the table. And some of you have already mentioned that that's something you're going to be doing And 2019, because I probably put on about 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, that's just one of many things. But the most important thing here is to not be asleep in the things of God, but to be awake and alert, and that we might be used of God in our time. And that's what Paul's going to talk about in this section that I think is so very important. So with that, let me bow once again and ask God to help me and help us all, to help me to speak and help you to hear. Father, we beseech you for your presence. We need thee as we study your word, and we ask you, Father, that what is said would not return void, but would accomplish what you would want it to accomplish. Make us useful today, Father. Oh, open ears, open eyes to the truth of your word and to the preciousness of knowing you and walking with you. And help everyone here, wherever they are spiritually, oh, Father, to know you, to walk with you, and live for you. Some that may not know that at all. And for others of us that we're tired, we're weary, we're dull, whatever it be, Father, help us, oh Lord, to be renewed in thee, that we might find freshness in our relationship with you, which is so, so very important. Guide us, thou great, great, wonderful God, into your truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 2018 has been an intense year. It went by in a blaze of fury. But it's also been very intense. Of great concern, we have our world and our culture. It seems to be just coming apart at the seams. There's all kinds of violence and tragedy and catastrophe and unrest and division and all manner of rapid acceptance of an anti-God mindset. That's perhaps to me the most concerning issue of all. And with that, a spiraling of twisted thinking and all manner of perverse ideas and actions. And with that, the church seems to have less impact on the world as it's going forward. And turn around from these things, this direction which seems to be sliding downhill at a rapid pace, seems to be nearly impossible. The closer we get to ourselves, and interestingly enough, each one of us has significant personal challenges in our life. There have been deaths in our families. There have been health issues. There have been all manner of family issues. And all things, everything is spiritually related. And even more difficult in such a troubled environment, living itself is difficult. And with that in mind, not trying to be Mr. Negativity here, but we move into 2019, and what does 2019 hold? Well, what do we know? Praise God, He's in control. Amen? And that really makes all the difference, doesn't it? And He's promised to send Jesus Christ to return. And that's got to be closer. We don't know how close. I think it's real close. So while the world will not improve and it's lost in sin, we, if Christian, are in the world but not of the world. We don't take on the world's thinking. But the Scripture itself provides us with right thinking for living, which crosses all the boundaries of whatever is going on in the world around us. And that's where we find ourselves in this Ephesians chapter. Things were not on easy street back when Paul wrote this. In fact, things have never really been on easy street. There have been better times than other times, but we're in an ugly time right now, and increasingly so. But what we have here is a highway, a guide for us. And the first point I've made here is living righteously. If you happen to be looking at the outline, And may I just remind you again, we don't save ourselves by our actions, but we do have an accountability. I think of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not talking about work for your own salvation. Work out with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God that works in you both to will and to work His good pleasure. Praise God. It's His work. But we have to struggle in it. We have accountabilities. We have responsibilities. And if you look at this whole chapter and this wonderful theology that leads up through chapter 3, we get to chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. There it is. Walk in a manner worthy. And when we get to verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We are children of God. We are adopted into His family, and to work, to think and act and do as God Himself. And he even talks here about walking in love. Isn't that what he did? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he expounds on living godly and then summarizes this in verses 15 to 21 that I want us to look at. True Christianity consists in a repudiation of our old nature and a taking on of the very nature and mindset of Jesus Christ and living that out. Now, over the years that I have been in ministry, in one form or another, one of the chief counseling questions that always comes up and with people is, what is God's will for me now and in 2019? Well, here it is. Here is God's will, and really in chapter 5 here and verses, there's a whole lot of God's will here, but in particular summarizing in 15 to 21. This is God's counsel to us, His sustaining standard. So beginning in verse 15, we see a careful examination of ourselves. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Walk is always a euphemism for how you live your life daily. What you do with yourself, what you do with your time. He's going to talk about that here. Therefore means that based on what he has been teaching and the fact that the dangers are great and the matter is so important, be careful. That's the Greek word akrobos, and it means be accurate, be exacting by examination. It is the opposite of being careless. It carries with it the idea of being alert. Being alert around you, recognizing where you are. You're in a fallen world. You're in a sinful world. There's all manner of attacks upon your mind, heart, soul, your walk, and everything that's going on. But if you're in Christ Jesus, as Christ said, you've overcome the world, you're to overcome it through Him. So be careful. Wise and unwise here in this, not as unwise men, but as wise, are opposites, obviously. If you think of Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here is that contrast with wisdom. To be unwise is not to take God into consideration, just sort of leave Him out of the equation. But a right fear of God is a continual reverence for Him. It's a continual mindset that He plays the number one role in my life. Just the opposite of what those of the world do. Those remaining in the unwise walk can even claim salvation. But salvation must be seen in our life. Salvation is real. True Christians may wander off the path and look at, for a time, like the unwise, but they won't remain there. God won't let them. All we got to do is study Hebrews 12. If you're his child, boy, he'll work you over royally until you get back on the path. There are two distinct philosophies and manners of life here that are in contrast. And even though Christians can relapse or be confused or at times fall prey to temptation, but that's why we have here so much instruction for us given by Paul, is because we are still engaged in a battle. And we need to take this battle seriously. We have admonitions like Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Boy, that's a serious thing. Christ spoke of the broad road and the narrow road, didn't he? And few there be that find that narrow way. Now, we want to be sure we're on the narrow way. Matthew 7. We recognize from Scripture, 1 Peter 5:8, the devil goes about like a roaring lion. If you ever seen those National Geographic pictures of what a lion hiding in the grass, waiting to pounce upon his prey and destroy them? That's the way Satan is described here, with you and with me. This is serious stuff. And that's why Christ would declare to his disciples in chapter 17 of John, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Because we need to be set apart to God by knowing the truth. And by knowing that truth, we can then practice the truth. So we need to wake up to this serious command here. Be careful how you walk. And then in verse 16, he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. This is continual service. I figured on my little calculator at home before I came that I have now lived 26,331 days. Man, I'm really old, aren't I? And some of you here have lived even more days than that. But God knows the end of each of our life's journeys. But we don't. We don't at all. And therefore, we don't know what tomorrow will be like. And so time is so precious. And he says here that it's evil. The natural bent of life on the fallen earth is engaged in uselessness and worthlessness and wickedness. But we're supposed to redeem, purchase the time. We're supposed to treat it with such respect and make it such a priority. It's like we're having to buy it with the energy and effort of every work that we do. And we're supposed to make the most of it. Exaggerozo is the Greek word. You can see exaggeration in there. And the idea here is that it's full of energy. This is a radical idea that the root here of purchasing it is so strong a word. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:17, conduct yourselves in fear during your stay upon the earth. The idea is there to be concerned that you don't waste the time that God has given you. James tells us that life is like a vapor, doesn't he? And those of us that are over the hill, way over the hill, know exactly what that means. Yesterday I was in Plainview, Texas, walking around as a toddler. Now I'm this old geezer standing before you. That's the way life is. And he says here that We need to invest our time wisely. Christ spoke of this. I won't get you to turn there in Matthew 6. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And the idea is there, he's not talking about you don't need to have a bank account. That's getting way off focus. He's talking about invest wisely in the world to come. That's going to be eternity. This world is short. We have to survive here. We have to get along here. But our real investment focus should be in relation to God and eternity. That's what is primarily important in our focus, in our love, in our living for Him. And as such, that puts treasures in heaven. Because God takes account of everything that's going on here. And so in 2018, we used to do this where I used to work. We'd have a time management guy come in, and he'd follow you around, which was kind of irritating, tell you the truth, and see how you spent your day, you know. And you'd come to find out you spent a good part of your day wasn't doing much of production. You were kind of like the proverbial rat on a wheel, you know. You're just in there spinning, but you weren't going anywhere. But the idea is, if somebody followed you around, how much wise time, God-loving, honoring service time did you spend for Jesus Christ? And what will you do? And I'm talking to myself, not just you. In 2019. Because God sees all of this, and that's why we have these commands that are listed here. So we get to verse 17. He says, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So then, conclusion, foolish, don't live as the unsaved. Don't live like the world. But live in relationship to God. And consider as such the urgency. In order to know how to make the most of your time, you must know God's will. That's what he's talking about here, isn't it? Understand what the will of the Lord is. Where do we do that? God's Word. This whole Word here. This is the will of the Lord. This Word speaks of Jesus Christ. And just as Paul said earlier in this letter, be imitators of God. Be imitators of Christ. Paul said the same thing. Follow me as I follow Christ. So we have examples, we have instruction, we have commands, we have it all there. That's what he's saying. Don't be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord. And he says, back really to verse 16, the most of your time, making the most of your time, is every opportunity, first of all, to get your tank filled up. You're not going to drive your car very far if you run out of gas. At least mine won't work that way. You got to get your tank filled up. As Christians, we need our tank filled up in the Word of God. How fast does the Word leave us? How influenced we are by worldly thinking and ideas and rationalizations that inhabit the land and the people of the world, and how different is the will of God that we so desperately need to just continually drink into ourselves. That's why we teach the Word of God verse by verse, because it's not what man says that counts. It's what God says. And this is what we need. This is timeless. It changes not because God changes not. This is inerrant, infallible, and perfect. And this is what, of course, we need. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, and I'm not picking on anybody, but as an elder and a pastor, those who have the least need for counsel are those that are engrossed in Bible reading, Bible study, attending church, attending the opportunities for feeding on the Word of God, and the ones that always seem to be in confusion and trouble and upset and making messes of their life, and are those that are removed from this, because there is no shortcut here. And there's not a person in here, including myself, that can, we can't drink the Word of God in one time and walk away from it, say, well, I know everything now, and I got it all made and all figured out. And it's sort of like water. It begins to evaporate. And we have to be refilled. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be in God's Word. And by the way, there's so many opportunities. There's good books. Now, you got to be careful what you read and take in, but there's good books. There's preaching. There's teaching. There's radio and internet and all manner of things that people of old didn't have. My goodness, through the dark ages, they didn't even have the written Word of God. They had to rely upon somebody to tell them what it was in Latin. We are so privileged. Take advantage. Take advantage. Fill up your tank. Verse 18. Now here's where we get down into the nitty-gritty. We need to be controlled by God. And he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul gives a contrasting metaphoric example here. And it is another of these contrasts. Drunkenness here is a metaphor for the world's happiness. A lot of people take in drugs, take in alcohol. Why? They're trying to mollify the difficulties of life and the negativity of things that are going on around them, and they solve their problems by getting controlled by something that just screws up their head momentarily and their thinking and moves them away from reality. And you see, the person drinking too much has their walk affected. Now, physically, we know that. There's loss of judgment and loss of refinement and loss of ability, and people that are intoxicated endanger themselves and others. Which, by the way, our most precious human attributes are the ability to think and to reason. And when we lose that, that's what the intoxicated person, the person on drugs, that's not the remedy for cares and pressures and worries. You may have a temporary sense of joy and foolishness, but then they wake up with a headache, right? And the troubles haven't gone away. In fact, now they've intensified. And he talks about dissipation here, has the idea of waste and detriment. Again, this is how the world spends its time, not only in waste and detriment, but destruction. So he's saying, don't be intoxicated with alcohol. He's just making a comparison, that's all. And the Holy Spirit at the same time. In other words, I can't take in the world's philosophy and ideas and drink that in like I would drink alcohol and at the same time drink in the Holy Spirit. That won't work. They don't mix together. What has relationship has God with the devil or light with darkness? None of that. I hope I'm making sense to you. You see, he's saying here, we need to be filled with something else here, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's he talking about there? He's not talking about some second blessing or some special anointing here. It literally means to be filled up with God. That's what the Spirit is. The Spirit is God. Filled up with God's Word. Thinking and living according to everything that is in this word. You can't read this word if you're a Christian that it doesn't just, oh, it makes your heart sing. It's amazing to me how Christians can walk away from the word so long and stay away from this, because in this word is found all source and sense of joy. In other words, he wants us to be controlled by the word, not by the world. That's the idea here. Instead of alcohol or the world messing up my walk, walk pleasing to God. That's what he's talking about. Instead of having the false sense that drunkenness or worldliness brings upon us, have the joy of Jesus Christ filling your soul. Because the Christian's life is a life of true joy. It's a life of contentment. It's a life of peace. And there's nothing better than that. You can have the peace, and I can have the peace that passes all understanding when the storm is all around us. And it will be. And so if our Christian walk is weak, that is from sometimes lack of commitment and characterized by dullness, you need to fill up your tank on the good things that are found in God's Word. They straighten up the head and they straighten up the heart. And the Holy Spirit dwells richly when one is engaged prayerfully in knowing God. And you know the difference. You've been around people, and I've been around people, when they're at their peak of rejoicing in God, and it just radiates from them. It is a joy and an expression that cannot be compared with anything else, because it's not something drummed up and fickle and weak and silly. It's something marvelous and wonderful. And so, this is what we need, by the way, in 2019. That's why I'm going here, by the way, and looking at this again. And then finally, we can say that living in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with God, thinking God's thoughts, walking with God, the same thing that Christ talked about in John 15 when he said, abide with me, that's being filled with the Spirit. Abide with Christ. You can't abide with Christ if you're doing everything but walking with Christ. It won't work. And if you do, though, you have an influence. You have an influence on others. And that's what I want us to see as well. For notice beginning in verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, if you have a voice like mine, you may not be wanting to go around and sing to people. They may throw things at you. But the point, he's not talking necessarily literally here, even though I think that's fine. He's talking about the joy of the Lord and expressing it because of what is in your heart. Speaking to one another. How does the world speak to one another? Well, I know it's gotten real difficult for me to watch TV. The profanity and the that comes out of people's mouths, unbelievable. And the coarseness and the corruption and the confusion and the wrong thinking about everything that's just spewing out in every way. Well, what a contrast is this with the Christian of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is people that are in love with their Lord, and when they converse with one another, they're speaking, as it were, things that build up, glorify, encourage. And the image there is seen of one that is a light instead of a darkness. And may I say, too, with this, what does the world do? Complain, complain, complain. Have you noticed that? That's just continual. I mean, you talk about haranguing, that just beats you down into the dirt. Just complain, complain, complain. I don't see that here. Get your eyes off of all this junk and get them on Jesus Christ. I used to be a preacher. He was on the radio. He was Preacher Brown was his name. He was a black preacher. And he would always say, keep looking up, keep looking up. Well, that's what we need to do. Looking up instead of looking at one another, complaining about this, and complaining about that. And I know I do my share of that too, by the way. But we need to carry the delight that we have in Jesus Christ, because guess what? All this stuff that we're complaining about is going to go away anyway. The Lord's going to take care of that, and pretty soon He won't be around. Okay, so beginning in 19b, He says, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. This is a person filled with the Spirit. Now, just think of that. He's talking about your conversation should be formed as if you're talking to God. You ever think about that? Because He's listening, by the way. He's right there with you. And it should come from a heart that has been transformed and changed and shows the earmarks, or as Paul would say, the brand marks of Jesus Christ. So God-minded, that our conversation is refreshing to others, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Praise God. I think of David over in 2 Samuel 6, when he was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant member into Jerusalem, and he was dancing before the Lord with all his heart. I mean, here's a king, and he was just beside himself. And of course, his wife thought that was terrible, what he did. And when she had a conversation with him, he said, I'm going to dance harder than that next time. I mean, basically, that's what he said. Because I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Then speak as you love the Lord. Act as you love the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, if we want to be useful with our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, and each other, we must be controlled by the Word of God and not by circumstances, but by filling our time with Christ. And you'll notice here as well that he talks about in verse 20, always giving thanks. You know, it's pretty hard to complain while you're giving thanks, isn't it? And one of the things that I see that are characteristic of the unsaved is they're never grateful. Never grateful. Are you grateful? Are you grateful that God has brought you this far? Are you grateful that you can sit here in your seat? I hope you're in your right mind today. Most of us are, I think, whatever that means. Are you grateful? Most of us here had a breakfast or food this morning. Are you grateful? Be grateful, be thankful in all things, he says. And then in verse 21, he says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Subject is hupotasso, means to be under. And this is really talking about love, isn't it? We cannot put others ahead of us unless we have agape love. That's what Christ had. Christ put everyone ahead of himself when he died on the cross. He came from glory and humbled himself on our behalf. And so this is an attitude that is built around fear of the Lord, reverence for God, understanding Him. We think of Philippians chapter 2, where Christ humbled Himself, and we are commanded to be like Him again. The saved man thinks first of God, that's the fear of the Lord, and then secondly, like God, for others, on behalf of others. This is a philosophy. It's like the foot washing of John 13, when Christ, the King of glory, the King of the universe, the God of all creation, humbled Himself and got down and washed the dirty feet of the apostles, or His disciples really, including Judas. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're supposed to do. He said there, follow my example. And you see, pride must be destroyed. The Christian should not be walking around exercising the same mentality of pride as the unsaved do. Because really and truly, if you think about it, all manner of sin and all misguided actions are all related to pride. The Christian is to recognize who he is, that we are nothing. He sees himself foolish and otherwise a hopeless sinner. And so how can I have anything to boast about? And stop thinking that you or me are deserving. Because that's what complaining is about too, isn't it? I deserve something. No, we don't. If we got what we deserve, where would we be right now? It wouldn't be in heaven. Be in that other ugly place. So in conclusion, these are my thoughts from the Scripture moving into 2019. I think it's great direction. It's instruction for living the Christian life for 2019. Now, we can't do this in the flesh. If there is no relationship with God, because you and I must know God, we must have His grace, we must have His life imparted to us, we must have His Spirit working in us. I must have come to the end of myself and embraced Jesus Christ as my only Savior, and may I also say as my Lord and my Master, because that's why He can give instruction like this, because He's King. And we take up our cross and we follow Him. So does this describe your ambition to truly serve the Lord? A commitment to live out what we've described here, knowing that you're not going to do it perfectly. But are you even in the ballpark? Are you in the game, as it were? Are you advancing towards Jesus Christ? It will be contrary to the world, and they will throw everything at you to distract you, discourage you, to destroy you. But Jesus Christ again said, I've overcome the world. And if we'll follow Him truly with our heart and seek to please Him and walk in the fear of the Lord, we too will overcome in His strength. And you know what? That's what really matters. That's what matters. Christ is what matters. All this other stuff, you could put it in a thimble and you'd have too much. Knowing Jesus Christ and walking with Him and serving Him in 2019. May God help you and help me as we seek first the kingdom of God and His glory. I pray that would be true with all of us. Let me bow, please. Father, we thank You for the instruction from Your Word. You haven't left us to be fishing in the dark, trying to figure out what we should do, but You have clearly told us. Oh, help us to be obedient to You and give us Your strength by Your Spirit. For someone that may be here or in the sound of my voice that knows You not, oh, I pray, Father, that they would see that of themselves they have no hope and might come entirely to Thee and place all their confidence in the One who died on the cross and who lives and will come again. Oh, Father, help them. And for those of us that know You, oh, Father, gracious Lord, work in us that we might be the lights that we should be. Thank You for bringing us this far, and we know from Your Word that You will take us truly home to You, for nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.